We are continuing our journey through the first letter of John, and last week we talked mostly about 1 John 1, and now we're going to look at 1 John 2. We're going to begin our look at 1 John 2, and I love the first letter of John because it's very basic. It's very simple. It's almost a logical form. If A, then B. If you learned logic in school, and maybe in mathematics class, or maybe such as myself, you learned it working on computers. I also learned it in mathematics class too, but I also learned it more on a hands-on way on a computer, where if you have, you know, if you have an electrical charge here and you don't have one on this other side of the transistor, but on the third side, it looks at it as an OR gate, which is if you have A or B, then you'll see an electric charge at point C. So a little bit of Boolean algebra for you, which doesn't do well on the radio anyway. But you can see that. Very logical. And you can see this logic very intensely. And it's an and style logic. If A and B, then C. Or if A, then B. So let's look at what's being said here from chapter 2 of the first letter of John. And of course, this is coming to us from the New American Bible, the Revised Edition. And John is writing, he says, "My children." Now, it's an important thing to note that the term we can understand is, you know, not literally my children, but he's writing as shepherd, as father in a sense, as his, these are his spiritual children. He's guiding them. And notice it's got a pastoral sense to it. It's not written in a command form per se. Hey, you better do this. It's written as my children. It's written gently. It's written as a guide. It's in that. And this is one of the important things when you're reading the Bible. Notice how it's written, okay? I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. Always go back to that logic statement. Why am I writing this to you? I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. Very basic. What is the reason why I'm writing this to you? So that you may not commit sin. That's the reason why this letter is being written. And so it's guiding us to live a different way of life. It's guiding us to live a whole different way of life. We can't get lost in the idea is sin is just following rules. It's just following rules. Turning from sin is a whole different mindset. It's a whole different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of being. It's a whole different way of understanding the world. And when we do that, we don't commit sin because we choose not to, because it doesn't match the world that we have entered into. It doesn't match the vision of what we stand for. For example, you know, I may walk by a $20 bill on the ground, and I've done that before. Well, why don't I pick it up? You know, we have no idea who it's from, so I could pick it up. And I have a standard joke. If anyone finds any money that falls out of my pocket, I always go, "That must be mine, because mine's green." But you know, say I find a $20 bill on the ground and I don't pick it up. I don't believe in finders keepers. I just say, well, whoever lost it will find it, and but I'm not going to be the one who takes it, and you know, whatever, because it's not mine. And so that's my mindset. And someone else may come along and say finders keepers. And you have to realize it's not two different ideas. It's two totally different ways of understanding how we live. One of them says, I'm going to get whatever I can. There's a $20 bill. It's mine now. And another says, you know, it's not mine. It never was mine. I'm going to leave it alone. So there's two different mindsets there, two different ways of looking things. And that's what John is reading, writing. I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. And that's the beginning of a whole different understanding of the world around you. And that really is what being a Christian is, what being a Catholic is. We're not called to just follow rules. We're not called just to be good to one another. We're called to have a whole different way of looking at things. And we cannot have that way if we are not people of prayer. I say that all the time. We cannot. So it's a whole different way of understanding the world. Now he says, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, we understand the reason why Jesus died on the cross was to save us from condemnation. St. Maximus the Confessor in the 7th century, and I know I've described this to you before, says something very powerful, that Jesus lived the law perfectly. And that's the only way we could be saved, if someone lived the law perfectly. So the whole crucifixion was the devil actually trying to get Jesus not to love for so much as, this is my word, a nanosecond. Because obviously there was no concept of a nanosecond in the time of St. Maximus the Confessor. So what you see is the devil throwing everything at Jesus, trying to get him to not love for so much as a nanosecond. So he lived the law perfectly. And that's the only reason why we are saved, because in order for us to be saved, the law had to be lived perfectly by someone, and then Jesus did that. So then we go back to this phrase here, which is so powerful, and it says, I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin, but if anyone does sin, because you're not going to be able to be perfect, because there's only one who can, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So if you're trying to live the faith, if you're trying to be honest with your relationship with Christ and do what Christ calls you to do, to act as Christ calls you to do, but you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to lose your temper. I'll talk about that in a second. Then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. We'll be right back right after this.
Have you ever wanted to read the Bible but didn't know which readings to check out? Well, how about looking at the Church's daily readings? You can find them at the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Just go to bible.usccb.org and click on the date that pops up on that page. There are other options on that page as well. That is bible.usccb.org, and click on the date and you will see the daily readings for your own prayer and study of the Bible. This is a prayerful tip from St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts.
And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out our website. You can check out the archives of the show. You can check out our Substack newsletter. You can listen to the archives. You can read our blog. You can read, as I said, the Substack newsletter. You can do all kinds of things over there. And we're going to soon have a shopping page if you'd like to pick up some gifts or even my latest book. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the book up there for anyone who wants to pick it up. I'm going to put it at a lower price than I'll eventually put it. And so you can, you know, send me any comments or any thoughts. And if you want to write a review, that would be fine too. But I'll be doing that soon. That'd be our shopping page. So check all of that out at CatholicAudioMedia.com. Well, talking about living the faith, how we're not able to do it perfectly. I had an experience the other day, and I guess you could say this is kind of a confession. But anyway, I ride a bike, and I ride a bike around the Alston-Brighton area, and I get as far as Boston, I go into Brookline, I go in all over. Well, I'm going down Harvard Ave. I'm wearing my clerics. Now, I had a jacket on, so maybe people didn't notice, but I'm wearing my clerics, so it's pretty obvious what I'm doing or for a living. Now, about a year ago, I was driving down Marlborough Street, and this happens occasionally, bike riders. This person takes this very quick left-hand turn right through the bike lane, really didn't care I was there, and I had to slam on my brakes so that I wouldn't hit this driver, and I flipped over the handlebars, and I assume I bruised my ribs. I may have broken them, but since there's nothing you can do for broken ribs, I just assumed and lived with the pain for a few weeks. So, nothing much I could do about it. But I had that experience a year ago. So here I am going down Harvard Ave, and someone, again, pulls into the bike lane, taking that right-hand turn in this case, and I had a slam on my brakes, but fortunately, A, I didn't flip over, and B, I didn't hit the vehicle, which I came close to doing, and I think I missed hitting the vehicle, so I stopped, not hitting the tire, by the way, of the vehicle, by about an inch. And that's not an exaggeration, by about an inch. And of course, if I flipped over, I would have landed right on their hood and all the other stuff, and it would have been painful. And of course, we'd been in an argument, probably, maybe not, whatever the case may be. But in the words, and I know he won't mind me saying this because he once said it during a homily, in the words of Father Dan O'Connell, a very fine priest from the Archdiocese of Boston, I almost forgot what I did for a living because of the word that came out of my mouth. See, we're not perfect. We make mistakes and we commit errors, and we're not perfect. We commit sins. We do our best not to, but what is John say? But if anyone does sin, we can trust in the fact. That's not what he writes, but we're saying that. Then he's what he writes. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. This one who lived the perfect life now is our advocate. He is our guide, as long as the Holy Spirit too. He is our advocate. He is the one who's there standing up and saying, please have mercy on him, just as he did for those who are nailing him to the cross. Father, have mercy on them, for they do not know what they are doing. So he becomes our advocate, this one who loved us so much that he died on the cross. So you see how powerful that is, and it's going to get more powerful as we go through the week. But see how powerful that saying is, that writing is, that Jesus now is our advocate. And so we trust in that. And so it's important to understand that. Now, obviously, that assumes repentance, but it's us going, Lord, you know, please advocate for us. And it's understanding that that is what's happening. Now, I want you to contrast that with those who live in terror of ending up in hell. Now, obviously, if someone is in terror of ending up in hell, they're probably living a better life, meaning a more good life than you would expect listening to them, because they're trying their best not to sin, and they're probably trapping themselves in a form of scrupulous. But understand, they have lost a sense that Jesus is our advocate, and so they live in this terror. Jesus is our advocate, so there's no reason for that terror. We're going to talk more tomorrow. Have a blessed day. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.